fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is Isaiah chapter 58. And here the prophet tells us how to get our prayers answered. Shout out, not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinances of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. They ask, why do we fast but do not see you? Why humble ourselves but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and fight and strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush, to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. You remove the yoke from among you, pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil. If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, make your bones strong. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interest on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Getting our prayers answered. What's it worth? Kind of a strange sermon title and a strange question, because it sounds cool and a little selfish and greedy. Doesn't seem very Christian, as it appears to treat God as some kind of heavenly errand boy that we can use or somehow buy off. And yet, the possibility of finding a way, a method, a formula for being sure of God's answers to our prayers would be worth quite a bit. And if, as we just say, prayer is the soul's supreme desire, if prayer is about what we truly want from our hearts, from the depths of our beings, our very souls, then it's worth everything to get our prayers answered. There are no expense, no effort. Nothing would be worth more than getting those kinds of prayers answered. So think about real wants, real desires. Not just the things we save and pay for or go into debt for. we wish might happen. I mean things we pray for, like the health and safety of our kids. When we hear of other sick children, we pray for them too. When our kids are out late, when the roads are slippery, we pray. We pray for comfort after the death of a loved one who we know are going to miss always. We pray for courage to do the right thing at work and school when it is going to cost us a customer or change our relationship with some people we would like to like us, but we pray for wisdom to make the right choice when there is a lot of confusion. I hope our teenagers pray when their boyfriend or girlfriend pressures them to do something they know they shouldn't. We pray when we should walk away from trouble rather than run right into it. We pray to have the strength to do with the parents what needs to be done when they need to be parented. We pray we need to tell a friend the truth without telling them all. We pray for deeper faith for ourselves, for our families, for all who need those kinds of answers, prayers. They are worth everything. So how much everything are we willing to pay? What's it worth? It still sounds a little cold. Let's try that another way. Are we willing to submit to God's will and His ways? That's the same question, but with different words and a little softer sound. It does direct us to the answer, which is the price or the cost of getting our prayers answered. With our scripture lesson for today, we begin to understand that as we're faithful to God's will, and so better understand His ways, and until we're faithful and obedient, we cannot receive or accept or even understand His answers to our prayers. In other words, the cost, the price of getting our prayers answered is very high. Very high. Listen to the lesson. Share your bread with the hungry. Since it's tax time, in the best sense, since the church gave up welfare and transferred the tax over to the government, I suppose one could argue that the graduated income tax is supposed to be paying our fair share and so sharing. Yeah, we all know about how we feel about paying taxes. Bring the homeless poor into your home. Well, that's going to take some effort. One thing about our worldwide satellite communications and 24-hour news shows and web and weekly magazines, we cannot stand before God and say, I didn't know. If we do, we're going to hear, oh yes, you did, you just didn't care. When you see the naked clothed, remember our last offering to Church World Service for disaster relief? I'm not sure I can even remember the name of the hurricane. But do we miss that today? Better question is, would we have missed that individual or denominational effort if we hadn't responded? The opportunity to do God's will, when we know it, is there. And when we do it, we know we did right. Do not hide yourself from your own kin. Well, what's that all about? Kin here means family, children, relatives. How many times and reasons don't we have for hiding or being busy, meaning doing our own thing? And once in a while, it's perfectly all right to say to your children, just leave me alone before I pull to hide from our own. It's just as true for husbands and wives as it is for parents and children. This is not a warning to keep marriage counselors not so busy. It's an invitation. Husbands and wives to invest in each other and go out on a date once in a while and do something not to hide. All of that stuff is just verse 7. In verse 9, Isaiah starts to talk about attitudes. Take away the yoke of oppression. That sounds so old until we ask, do we ever press our ways or our thoughts or our feelings onto other people? Do we ever say things like, well, you certainly don't feel that way, do you? No decent person would ever consider. I want you to feel free to express yourself, but those kind of statements may not let others be all they can be, and that's oppression. We oppress our kids when we tell them how to think before we listen to how they're thinking. We oppress each other when we assume we know how other people feel. And individual oppression isn't the only form we need to deal with. There's political oppression, there's social oppression, there's economic oppression. And there's spiritual oppression present when we confuse our interpretation with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Pointing the finger has always been impolite at best, and obscene at worst. It's nothing new. It is not the invention of American free speech. But to deride someone else who, like us, is a child of God is to lower our opinion of ourselves. There goes one of those. It can be a very dangerous statement. Speaking wickedness is just vital for gossip. I read a good definition of gossip. A great beast of prey that does not wait for the death of the victim it devours. Isaiah says that's up. If we want to get our prayers answered. And we do want to get our prayers answered. But the real costliness is pointed out in verse 10. Because so far, all we've talked about are things that are good for us to do or good for us to quit doing. Well, verse 10 says, pour out yourself for the hungry. Satisfy the desire of the afflicted. Whenever it sounds too vital for me, I try to go back and figure out what's really being said. One old translation goes like this. Give bread to the hungry from your heart and satisfy the afflicted soul. Now, heart and soul confused me there. And I couldn't figure out until I went back and read that Old Testament verse in the Greek Old Testament. There is a Greek Old Testament along with the Hebrew one. I read it in the Greek Old Testament, read it in the Hebrew Old Testament. And yourself, and heart, and desire, and soul were all the same word. In other words, the high cost here involves giving our heart, soul, mind, and strength our very being. It is to the thought that counts. The motive is important. It's not just the what, the bread. It's the why. The love that will satisfy the soul. The soul who receives the payment, and the soul who gets the payment, or the cost of getting our prayers answered. Anytime we give up ourselves, our souls, it's worth a lot because it's really all we have to give, and that's giving our all. And what could possibly get us to do that? Well, look at the bargain we receive. Your light shall break forth like the dawn. Then shall your light rise in the darkness. Here's that we need light. Do we have a light? being all we can be and doing our best is something that God wants for us and intends us to be. You know, hard work for hard work's sake is hard. Hard work for God's sake can be glorious. Real confidence in life is found in seeking life for what it is, both good and bad. That's true. For example, think about the issue of homosexuality. Think about illicit homosexual behavior. It's unacceptable because it's wrong. So is illicit heterosexual behavior. It too is wrong. Neither is permitted because both are harmful to the individual and to society. And in order to recognize directions for true blessings, we need that light that God promises through living under His instructions, and that's a bargain, not a burden. Your healing shall spring up speedily, make your bones strong. What's that talking about? I think it's forgiveness. We all know the immediate relief of being forgiven. We apologize for something we said we did, and it's accepted, and it feels good right away, right on the spot. When that weight of guilt is taken away, we stand a little taller, and spring comes back into the step. Well, imagine finding out we were pardoned for a crime we did commit. And at first we say we can't know what that's like, until we get real and consider the Ten Commandments. Only after that honest consideration of our own guilt can the cross of Christ offer to us its grace. And that grace is always a bargain, and it makes us feel clean and fresh and forgiven, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. All of a sudden, those Bible words are real. And when you pay the price of faithfulness, that's a high price, and we receive the bargain of grace, and that's a bargain, then and only then do we begin to understand how God answers prayer. Look at verse 11. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire of your soul with good things. Then in verse 9, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, here I am. It is only as we are faithful to God's will and obedient that we will understand and appreciate His answers. God always answers when we pray. First is the unfailing answer. Here I am. God can always be had for the asking. Imagine that. Now our specific request may or may not be granted, but He always answers with presence and love. And don't say, I don't know about that. I haven't experienced that. It's not all that far from our daily experience. When children ask from their parents, parents' response is made out of affection and with the best judgment possible. That's what qualifies parents as parents. The answer to that specific request may be yes, no, not now, later, I'll think about it, or wait. But when it's a good answer, it's for the child's best interest, for their ultimate best. And eventually, when that child becomes a parent and looks back, he or she will see that basic underlying love that was the foundation for all the answers, no matter what the answer was. I hope that if I said to you, remember how dumb, mean, and stupid your parents were? You would say, whoa, hold on a minute. They weren't perfect. But my dad would always come to help. My mom always told me the truth, no matter what. They loved me. did the best they could. They did what they thought was best. Such is the case with our perfect Heavenly Father and our prayer. When we pay the price of faithfulness and then recognize the bargain of grace, we will come to understand more and more the worth of God's answers to our prayers. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Bless your word to us, Heavenly Father, for we want to be your faithful children. And we want to be gracious to each other as you are to us. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake and ours.